Shark Bagley. Shark Bagley.
Shark Bagley. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Shack Baggily, all things loose and disorderly with me, Katie Johnson, and my good friend Howard Middleton from the Great British Bake Off. We're on episode 97, which is also the same number of people on board the Hindenburg airship when it exploded on the 6th of May 1937, and sadly 35 lives were lost. Minutes it takes the average person walking briskly to use up the number of calories in a malted milkshake, and the size in millimetre squared of a gorilla's eardrum, making it the largest of any living creature. Our eardrums are just 62 millimetres squared, and did you know they can't swim? That's gorillas, not our eardrums. So, after 2 weeks laid low, I'm finally fighting fit, and hope we find you well where you are. When it was time for Howard and I to catch up, you could tell I was feeling better, as I'd just tucked into a shortbread biscuit.
Oh, I love a shortbread, yeah. It's one of my favourites, actually. I'm not a great biscuit fan, but I love a bit of shortbread, yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought at first you said I've just had a shortbread, but like, sit down, catch your breath.
I've had all those.
Yeah, I don't know how you managed it last week. You hadn't recovered really, had you?
No.
You know, to be able to do a podcast, but...
Hey,
the show must go on.
The show must go on. Cue song. Are you okay?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm cold.
Are you? Cold. Why are you cold?
Yeah. And it's miserable out as well. It's raining. So
you've not got enough layers on, darling.
That's probably it. And I've also gone for a cardigan that looks more attractive than it is practical. Do you know what I mean? I've got the cardigans that are more umphy and cosy and what have you. I should have got one of those on. But you see, I'm vain, aren't I?
Sort of. It's only me.
But you might describe to the listeners what horrible cardigan I'm wearing.
I wouldn't so do I that. To... Do you want to go and get some warmer on?
No, I'm fine. But, oh, you've got a different mug. Is that a new mug?
Do you know this mug?
Number one, farmer. Mm-hmm. Yay.
This mug must be 40 years old.
Is it? Mm. Wow.
It was, because I felt better, a lot better on Monday. And I've started to do stuff. So I tell you what I did this morning. Got a steam cleaner, H. And I haven't used it for ages and ages and ages. And I thought, all right, because we've been poorly, let's do a bit of steam cleaning. And which is nothing to do with the mug at all. But the mug was one of those previous ones where I had a massive clear out. So came across the mug, thought we'd use them. But no steam cleaning. Have you ever steam cleaned?
No.
Oh.
Is it nice?
It's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Isn't it sad?
What have you been steam cleaning then?
Well, I know this might sound a bit bizarre, but because what I didn't say is with me having this cheap chest, I moved out of the marital bed.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I haven't gone back in yet.
You like it too much. You like your own space.
I know. So I've steamed cleaned the mattress that Glyn's been sleeping on, our mattress. So I've steam cleaned the mattress, the topper on the mattress. What else did I do? Did the bathroom, the sink, the bath and the floor. Yeah. I've done the lounge, not the lounge, the hall, not the hall, I've got a hall. What is it? A ball. landing, that's it.
All right. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've loads more to do. But, so steam cleaning. Oh,
I don't know whether I know what they are. I'm thinking, maybe I'm getting it mixed up with something. Have you been watching that that programme with Alan Carr and Amanda Holden, where they bought a property for a euro in Sicily?
Yeah.
And they were like steam cleaning the patio.
No, I think that's a pressure washer, love.
Is it a pressure washer, right? That's what I was thinking. Sure you wouldn't use that on a mattress?
No, that's a pressure washer. A steam cleaner is, how can I describe it? It's. I suppose it's like a very light, small vacuum cleaner, but it doesn't suck up anything. But in the container, you put water in and then you heat it up and it goes when it's ready. And then it goes on to anything, and it'll just go and it steam into where it is. It's amazing. You can do floors, carpets.
I don't know whether I should tell Peter, because as soon as you tell him anything like that, he wants
one. Oh, does he?
So it's like,
does he?
It's terrible. With it. You know, anything, if I ever have anything, like a new pair of trainers or jeans or anything like that, I could do with some new trainers. I could do with a new pair of jeans. And it's like, it's so, yeah. So if I said Katie's got a steam cleaner, we could do with a steam cleaner. I can hear it now, yeah.
I think you'll like it though, Howard. I think your life might be transformed, yeah. You've just got to make sure that you don't go fiddling until she's ready. So there's a little light goes on, red initially, where the water starts to warm up, and it'll go green,
yeah.
And then you press the green button, and then you're off.
I think, I don't know, it's not actually steamed. You don't inhale it like
no.
when you've got a bad chest.
No.
You don't. So it's not helped.
No, don't put it anywhere near your body parts or anything like that. No, it's just... I know.
Going to use it for anything like that.
I know as we've got older, things have got wrinkly, but I wouldn't suggest that to even things out.
No.
So please, I now feel I need to do a warning. Please, if you are using steam cleaner, please be careful and do not go on body parts. Yeah. Oh no, but no. Have a look. It kills 99. You know, the bacteria things. It's all natural.
Oh, well, that's the other thing that it would be. That would definitely tick all the boxes for Peter, because he's obsessive about cleaning.
Is he?
So, yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really obsessive.
Oh, gosh.
I try and be as environmentally friendly as possible, and I have to sort of literally pull the bleach away from his hand. Because otherwise everything would be bleached. It was like...
You know when somebody says environmentally friendly, I always think it just sounds as if when you're outside you smile a lot. That's just... That's the only thing I think about. Now, we have had such a response, and yes, we have had a response, Mr. Middleton, I know you.
Yeah.
On the, well, where should we start? The Peanuts cookbook.
Oh.
Divine Divinity.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah.
We heard from Laura, who says Divine Divinity, brackets, and chocolate fudge, close brackets, were made every Christmas and shared with the neighbours where I grew up in southern states. It's too sweet for my taste, but I love the cartoon of Linus in his pinny. So straight away, controversy. Did you hear that? Like a noise coming from my chest. Because I...
It's like a steam cleaner.
I've turned it off. Because we thought it was Charlie Brown on the front of that book.
Yeah.
Laura says it was Linus.
I have to say, I couldn't get it, but I did manage to get the sequel to it.
Get out.
Peanuts Lunch Bag Cookbook, which was produced in 1970. And that's definitely Charlie Brown on the front of mine.
It is Charlie Brown.
Yeah, he's sitting there with his sandwiches.
Well, let's have a look.
It's a lovely book.
Show me Charlie Brown again, and I'll hold up the one on the...
Wait a minute. Do you want a bit of a light on this?
No, she's right. It is Linus. It is Linus on the front. When you look at Charlie Brown, well, can you see that now? Because I always thought Linus had his little blanket.
I suppose at some point it has to get washed, doesn't it? So.
And then it says, 100% an old southern US recipe. So again, focusing on the southern states. Mary says, I had that same book years ago. The lemon bars are delicious.
Oh.
Barry says, I love peanuts, but I'd never heard of this. Thanks for sharing. Jessie says, my mum loves to make this for the holidays. I thought I was the only one who knew about this stuff. And then JR Hiker Baker Bear says, this was so delightful to hear about it in the podcast. My father was a huge Peanuts fan and passed that on to me. I remember the characters talking about divinity and asking what it was. Dad couldn't explain it clearly, so mum found a recipe and we made it. I thought it was terrible, but it was fun.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, and Orwee Demon said, I had this book as a kid as well. Chris and Grace said, I make Christmas and cover it with crushed candy canes, free dessert for friends. So that was good. Rinse in your mouth, but you have to work with it fast. Maggie says, my grandmother who lived in Minnesota would make divinity. I remember it being a kind of meringue. Rob said, just caught up whilst decorating. And Nicholas says, I didn't say it right on the first few tries either. Happy New Year to you both. Yeah, a lot of attention. So divinity.
Yeah.
So the one you've got then is the follow-up to it.
Yes. And I can't, do you know, I got this and it said in reasonable condition. And you think, I don't know what that means really, do you? For a book that was published in 1970. I don't know. I looked at it and thought, this is not from 1970. It looks as if it was printed yesterday.
Oh.
It's so fresh. It's so lovely. It's got brown paper pages in it. And it looks so beautiful. I love it to bits.
So what's it called, mate?
It's called Peanuts Lunch Bag Cookbook. So it's all about things you can put in your lunch bag. And it's got the most lovely little appropriate Peanuts cartoons at the side. Charlie's Chips and Cheese Balls. Some lovely stuff. What did I find in here? Oh, brown bag of hints. So if people are... I suppose that's why it's got brown paper pages. Because it's like a brown bag that you would take your lunch in.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. But yes, some of the stuff is a little bit... You sort of would know that if you put tomatoes on a sandwich, they might get soft. But it's good to have that...
Yeah.
That confirmed.
Were the recipes done by June Denton as they were in the first one?
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah, I tried to find out about a little bit about her, and she wrote some children's books, I think, but don't know what her claim to fame cookery-wise is. But I tell you, for added interest and variety in a lunch bag, include olives, pickles, carrot and celery sticks, sliced bell pepper, peeled and sliced raw turnip. I would never have thought of putting raw turnip in a lunch bag, would you?
No, no, no. And I do love a turnip, but I've never wanted to have it raw.
No.
So did it say thinly sliced, so really thinly sliced?
No, it just says peeled and sliced raw turnip. Doesn't say very thin. Oh, cheese cubes, that'd be nice. But
1970, how old were you?
I was 9 years old, yeah.
Yeah, so I was 4. I'm just thinking when we went to school with our lunch bags and whatever, and paper bags.
Yeah.
So that would be bang on for you, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, except I always came home at lunchtime. Never had a lunch bag.
You've never had a lunch bag?
No. Or a lunchbox or anything like that. No.
Howard, you've not lived.
I know, that's why I bought the book now. I'm going to make myself one up, take it outside.
But you must have had a picnic.
Oh, yeah, we had picnics.
Yes.
Yeah, we had picnics, but yeah.
When you're the young'uns today, if you said about putting in their lunch bag, whatever that was, they would look at you, gone out, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
Now, you know, I said about the peanuts and the lemon bars. Margaret said how lovely the lemon bars were. Julie sent us the peppermint patties prune whip.
Oh.
Yeah.
We weren't sure about that, were we?
Well, a pound package of dried prunes, water to cover, a third of a cup of sugar, half a pint of whipping cream, sugar to taste, and half a teaspoon of vanilla. So that is a prune shake, really, isn't it, when you think?
But
I don't know. What do you think? A pound of dried prunes. That's quite a lot, isn't it? A pound of prunes.
It is a lot, yeah. This is for one child.
Well, it belongs to Peppermint Patty, so it's only hers, by the sound.
She's...
But soak your prunes.
She must be regular.
For at least an hour in water. Bring to boil in same water and simmer covered for about an hour. So that's 2 hours you're working on your prunes. Or until your prunes are puffy and tender. Cool them off, cut each prune in quarters, removing seeds, chill in the fridge, beat cream with 1/2 to 1 teaspoon of sugar and the vanilla, fold in chilled prunes. Oh no, serve 6.
Oh right, that's a bit more manageable, I think.
That's still a lot of isn't it?
It's still a lot of prunes.
Lot of prunes.
Yeah.
We have an update on the condom toe.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you remember where we were up to on this here condom toe?
I remember that we had a discussion about how, is it the daughter of the lady with the condom on her toe was commenting about the fact that said condoms are only discussed when she is out of the room.
That's it. And the husband buys the condoms. We've heard from Enid herself, from the horse's mouth. She says, "Hello, this morning I needed to do some tidying of my house, e.g. pantry and airing cupboard." There we are. We now know the two areas. My daughter, Gwyneth, told me they listen, that's the family, listen to your podcasts. So I thought, why don't I listen? So I've plugged my iPad in the kitchen this morning and it went in a flash. So she goes, "So an update on my toe. On the fifth month of taking my tablets, wearing my condom every day, no pain, and the nail is not black anymore. So it's all sorted. Thanks for making my day so enjoyable." And thought June was hilarious. And then we put on the nun's breasts.
Oh, yes.
Well, we didn't put them on, because that sounds like it's one of those fancy dress shops. Yeah, and I used to love a fancy dress shop, did you?
I don't think I have ever been in a fancy dress shop.
I've never had
to pack lunch. I've never been in a fancy dress shop.
Howard, I don't know what to say.
I know.
I need to take you out somewhere.
And I have been past them, but I can't recall ever having gone into fancy dress shop.
Oh, you don't see them a lot now, because a lot online.
No.
But I think when we were in Cardiff, there was one in there, and I just wanted to go in. Anyway, back to the nun's breasts, which is absolutely nothing to do with fancy dress what's-its. Just going back a bit, I must say hi to Eliza, because she says, "I still have that little cookbook, you know, the peanuts one. My grandma Hall used to make us divinity every Christmas." That's nice. That's nice. We've heard from Brendan, who's a new listener to the podcast, and talking about nun's breasts and the picture and the recipe. He says, "I spoke with my friend about these yesterday and she's made them this morning. Hers look wonderful." I kind of hope he's talking about the nun's breasts. "And I'm going to give it a try this afternoon. Thank you for mentioning them on your podcast." Jane's been in touch. She said, "Oh, I was hoping you'd give us a picture of them as well as a recipe." Sugar and spice home baking. Thank you. And Barbara says, "We'll definitely try this recipe." And then Jerry says, "It's a mystery, or perhaps many of these recipes come from France, Spain and Italy, all Catholic countries, but still." So now, staying with Jerry, Jerry has done a little bit of research, which I love, don't you? Listeners are going away and finding stuff out. So she's reported back saying, not just nuns, but saints' breasts too.
And are they different?
When you say different, do you mean recipes as opposed to... They look very similar.
Do they look very similar? So some people call them saints' breasts and some people call them nuns' breasts. It's not a different flavour or anything like that.
Well,
no.
Saint Agatha's breasts.
I feel awful. We shouldn't be laughing at a saint's breast, should we? But no, go on.
I think these are different because they've got things in them. Almond paste. I'll show you the picture. There you go.
I think they're better moisturised, don't you? I think it's the almonds that are...
So I thought, well...
Like a body butter.
The breasts, known as mini de Virginie, were first baked by Sicilian nuns and can be found abundantly around Catania, is it, Howard? In honour of their dear sister, daughter and girlfriend, sweet, beloved Agatha.
Oh.
Yeah, and these are a little different. Can't really see them, can you? I'll tell you what, I'll send you it, because it's quite...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Honestly, my photo feed gets more interesting every day, doesn't it?
Have you got rid of that cleavage?
Do you know, I don't think I've permanently deleted it. I have deleted it, but I think it stays there for a few weeks, doesn't it? It should have gone by now, I'm sure. Sure.
Right, I've sent you that one. And they're really rather beautiful. and they're placed on real, you would say, Victorian plates, sort of crockery that you would see in the UK.
Gregorian plates?
No, Victorian.
Victoria. Gregorian, like a monk, isn't it? They have Gregorian chants like that.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't it beautiful, though?
I don't know what to say. Yeah.
Isn't it lovely?
It's impressive. Yeah.
So these are the St. Agatha's breasts. And dear Jerry's centre recipe, it's a little bit blurry. I can see there's an almond paste. So there's almonds, water, caster sugar, clear honey, vanilla bean paste, green food colouring gel and sugar for dusting. And for the pan di spagna, so there's 2 medium eggs, room temperature, caster sugar, vanilla bean paste, an organic lemon, pinch of salt, butter for greasing, and then a generous cup of soft wheat 00 flour.
But what gives them the dome shape then, out of the ingredient? Mm-hmm. I suppose we'd need the method, wouldn't we, to know how you're actually getting that on there. Wow.
I was looking through and I found bits. So there's one that is just something that tickled me. I came across this a couple of weeks ago, but I just haven't had mentioned it. 1912, Howard. 1912.
Oh, yeah.
Antique Carbondale PA cookbook with some handwritten recipes and candied dessert. Prepared by the young lady workers of the Methodist Episcopal Church of Carbondale, Pennsylvania. So we've had the Episcopal boys and girls before, haven't we?
Oh, yes, they're quite productive with the recipes, I think, aren't they? Yeah.
But it was just one that just jumped out at me. It's been sent in by Mrs. Harry B. Hiller. And it is for a shrimp wiggle. Isn't that fabulous? 2 tablespoons of butter melted in a saucepan, 1 tablespoon of flour, 1 cup of cream, 1 cup of little French peas, 1 cup of shrimps, 1/4 of teaspoon of salt. That's very precise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Serve on toast or in patty shells. The recipe will serve 5 people. But shrimp wiggle. Love that. I came across an Elgin Heritage Cookbook from the Elgin Area Historical Society, H.
Where's Elgin, then?
America.
Slow it down a bit. Just in case we're on tour.
Do you think we'll ever go on tour, H?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'd be lovely. Mm. Yeah.
We've got to do it in the UK first, just to do a show.
Yeah.
I've discussed terms with a theatre. It'll have to be round here, though, lovely.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of your, what is it, your rider that you have to be in quite close by or whatever.
And go home.
You need a bed in the dressing room.
Bit like you, go home for lunch. The heritage of Elgin is a rich one. People of many races, religions and ethnic backgrounds have come to Elgin and made it their home and prospered here. In this cookbook, we have a small sampling of many of the peoples and their culinary heritage that has been a part of Elgin through the years. So they're saying, not only do we have most of the European countries here, but we have Mexico, the Orient and Africa represented as well. So no.
It's Illinois, isn't it?
Is it Illinois? Know. Are you looking that up now?
Yeah. Elgin is a city in Cook and Kane counties in the northern part of the US state of Illinois, it says.
Well, thank goodness for you, Howard. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
So this has got all sorts in, and it's a bit like the last one with a shrimp wiggle. This just caught my eye because it's a hot German potato salad. So, I'm kind of guessing you're with me, aren't you? Yeah. So, it was a potato salad belonging to a hot German, basically.
Hot German, yeah.
But in this hot German's potato salad, they've put bacon, chopped onion, bacon fat as well, flour and sugar in this potato salad. So.
Oh.
They've also got to remove freckles. This has been sent in from Jackie Pierce, and this is from her grandmother's recipe from 1888. Have you got freckles?
I used to have freckles. I don't think I've got them anymore.
Where have they gone?
I don't know.
Have you been using Jackie Pierce's grandmother's recipe?
Would have been, yeah.
I don't think they disappear. I know they come out in the sunshine.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's it. That's maybe we're waiting for sunshine. That's what I'm missing, yeah.
I don't know why you would remove freckles, but it's equal parts of pure glycerin and rose water applied every night and allowed to dry. So that's it.
Does it work?
I don't know.
I
would have thought so. And then one more from here. And this is only purely because if you don't say this correctly, you could get yourself in all sorts of trouble. Right?
Hmm.
I'm just going to go for it. This has been sent in by Catherine Nelson, plucking bread.
Oh, yes.
Have you heard of it?
No, I'm just complimenting the fact that you said it correctly.
But I've never, ever heard of that.
What is plucking bread?
Oh, I'm glad you said that. I didn't dare mention it again. Well, I don't know, because it says yeast, warm water, shortening, salt, sugar, milk, scalded, so they've told the milk off again, beaten eggs and flour. So I don't know what that makes any difference to any other bread.
It's got egg in it, so it's an enriched dough.
Oh, it is, but, yeah. Yeah, you see, again.
Yeah, but it's... Maybe they're thinking of some relation to the chicken, the fact that it's got an egg in it. That's
maybe.
Why it's a plucking bread.
So, but, look, I haven't looked it up. Shall we look up plucking bread? Oh, God, be careful. Oh, it's also got another name, monkey bread.
Well, that doesn't make much sense, does it?
No, it is. It's brioche. You're right, with the egg, it's brioche.
Yeah.
And it is, it's monkey bread, also known as plucking bread, pull-apart bread and bubble bread.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, I have seen that monkey bread before, like sort of lumps of dough put together into a mould, yeah. Friendship bread, it's also
Friendship
called,
bread?
Is...
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's nicer, isn't it? Oh, I see. It's like plucking as in tear and share. You can pluck a bit off it.
Ah. Right. Are you still doing your courses and stuff, or what's happening?
Yeah. No, we're still doing. Yeah, we're going to be doing a special themed set, tying into the fact that it's 10 years since I was on Bake Off. So we're going to be
10 years.
Yeah, we're going to be going over week by week recipes from my series.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice thing to do.
So they're going to make what you did?
Yeah, well, sometimes what I did, or it might be some of the other bakers who've got their interpretation of whatever the theme was for that particular week or the recipe was for that particular week. So,
where's that gone, that 10 years?
I know. Incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
It's fair to say your life changed.
Yeah, yeah. No, somebody asked me the other day about that. And... I did a class last weekend, and there were so many lovely people who must be Shack Bagley listeners who were on that, because they were saying, oh, tell us, I was talking about my mum at one point about how she inspired me to bake in the first place. And somebody said, love a June moment.
Aww.
And I thought, oh, they've taken that directly from us, haven't they? Yeah.
Oh, I know, I like that. Oh, that's lovely. So 10 years. You do know it's coming up to our 100th episode.
Is it?
Mm.
How soon?
Well, this is 97.
Oh, right. So... I'm glad you're keeping track.
Yeah, thanks for your involvement there, then.
Thanks for... We'll have to do something special then for the 100th, won't we?
Well, I thought, I know we keep on about it, and people must think we're just keep saying, but I think we're going to have a guest. I know we said we were going to have a guest, and she couldn't join us. I have asked her if she would like to be with us, and when I say her, Frances Quinn, to see if she could join us for our 100th. If Frances Quinn cannot join us for our 100th episode, we will find somebody else.
Right, okay.
Now, when I say I'm going to find somebody else... Whether you're just going to shout out the window at any passerby, do you fancy coming on? No, we'll do something. We'll get somebody on. So, yeah.
I can think of a few people. Yeah. You should get Claire. She was was the one who came up with the idea in the first place.
Now, I was thinking more of people, somebody people know with regards to Bake Off.
We've spoken about it before. Right, somebody people know.
Yes.
With, oh, right, yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I know Claire. You know Claire.
I think we need somebody that is, I suppose, a bit famous.
Yeah. Do you know what I had last night?
No. Where's this going?
I drank that bottle of wine that Digger gave us.
That little tiny one at Ludlow last year. You've kept it all this time.
Kept it all that time. It was in the fridge.
Oh.
And we must have been a bit desperate last night. And I said, oh, there's a little bottle of wine in here. It's very nice, actually.
I thought you'd had that on the way home. It was almost like a little swig.
I had it last night. So, yeah, I was just thinking of possible guests.
Yes.
Digger the wine.
That was our first ever present, wasn't it? Our first ever fan present.
Fan present,
yeah. No, I think it needs to be somebody that is sort of... I think, especially when the things we talk about, old recipes and whatever, it's got to be somebody that's linked, hasn't it? So.
Yeah,
So there we are. But it's how we're going to... Hello. Would you like to come on to our little podcast? Yes. Elgin, you say? Where's that then? Oh, yes, Illinois. So what have you got on this week?
Do you know, I've got a lovely little bit of a few free days this week.
All
so
right.
Yeah, I'm catching up on my... Do you play games?
Do you mean similar to sort of Monopoly and Cluedo and all that?
No.
Oh.
I mean on your phone.
Oh.
Do you do the New York Times Wordle or crossword or
no.
A spelling bee or
I tell
or
you what I do
like.
Do free cell.
Yeah. Freestyle, I don't know what that
no,
is.
No, free cell.
Oh, free cell.
Yes. Do you
What's
know what that?
That
is? It's
no.
It's a bit like solitaire, but is
yeah.
it the reverse of solitaire? I'm trying to think now. It's cards.
It's a little card game you play on your
yes.
phone then. It's a
yes.
Ah right.
So you start with aces. And then you have to build up, so each four sets, is it four, what do I call them?
Suits.
Four suits.
Yeah.
And forsooth, sire. Yeah, so four suits, you start with ace, and then you build up.
Two soups.
Two soups. Ready to order. Ah, oh, the wonderful Victoria Wood. Yes. Anyway, we don't mention suits because it might go on to the topic of conversation that's worldwide at the moment everywhere. So we're avoiding that, aren't we, H?
About two soups?
No. Suits.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's... No. No, the reason why I was saying do you play games? Is I've discovered a new game, right? And I started playing it a couple of weeks ago. It's called Dear Reader, right?
Oh, right.
And it's a game of literary wordplay.
Oh.
Right? So it's ever so good. So it gives you books in your library, like The Picture of Dorian Gray and Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven, Alice in Wonderland, Pride and Prejudice. And then you have to work your way through the book, but it'll have got things like spelling mistakes and things like that. You have to spot the spelling mistakes against the clock, and or the words will be in the wrong order and you have to put them in the right order. And it's ever so challenging.
Hang on. Is this just somebody getting other folk to proofread without having to pay them?
Could be. But what was really weird was, as I say, these kind of classics of literature, and then suddenly offered me a new book to work on, and it was the up-to-date sandwich book, 400 ways to make a sandwich, and I thought, I didn't think this was class. It's kind of high literature, but yeah, it's a great one. So I just thought, how weird that it would offer me that particular one. It was written in 1909 by a lady called Eva Green Fuller. And once I've solved all the puzzles, I might actually read it and be able to find some sandwiches in there. But yeah.
Well, especially if you can make your own lunch then, can't you? And then have it in a little paper bag. Didn't you do that sandwich book, though, in the early edition of Shapbagley?
No, I've never said, I don't think so. The up-to-date sandwich book.
You did something with sandwiches.
Did I?
Mm. Yeah, I don't remember you doing something with sandwiches.
It's a beautiful book. I have to say, you know, when you look back over old books, and like we've joked about some of the things that sound pretty disgusting.
Yes.
And when you read this, do you know, I haven't found one sandwich yet that I don't like the sound of. So this really delicious stuff in there.
Now, it won't be the one you mentioned, because if you recall, there was a sandwiches which was about 15 different things to do with cheese.
Oh.
Remember?
I can't remember. I've got a book on eggs. I know that.
No, it's 50 things to do with eggs. No, this was a sandwich book. Or was it a sandwich book I mentioned?
It might be a sandwich book you mentioned. I don't think I've got a sandwich book.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice then. So lots of things you can do at lunchtime. And then just before you go to a fancy dress shop.
Yeah.
you mentioned June. Dare we ask?
Oh, gosh. Oh. Yes. She's, well, this is quite a complicated story, I have to say.
I'm sitting down.
So I'll try and explain it. Try to explain it as simply as possible. So my mum lives in an area of Sheffield that's called Shire Green, right? And she goes to the Shire Green Medical Centre. So that's where, that's her local GP. Mm. Not too far away from where she lives. And a few years ago, I gave my number as the contact number for Shire Green Medical Centre if they need to contact me about my mum. So I regularly get text messages saying our phone lines are down today. There's a nasty grid in the car park. Do be careful if you visit the surgery and things like that. But I also got one a couple of months ago to say we are thinking of relocating.
Oh.
So there was a consultation process about the fact that they were moving elsewhere, up near the sports centre, near the park. This means nothing to anybody who doesn't know the area.
Would they still be called Shire Green Medical Centre?
This was the point. They were going to be still going to be called Shire Green Medical Centre. Anyway, a few days ago, got a message to say they've decided not to relocate. They are staying where they are. So I gave this feedback to my mum. Said to my mum, they are staying where they are, so they're not moving up by the sports centre. And she said, that's a relief. She said, I always thought it would be strange to be moving up by the park. Because she couldn't have really classed that as Shire Green anymore. She says, it's on that road. What do they call it? I said Shire Green Lane.
We do love a June moment. With regard to St Agatha Breast recipe, as kindly sent in by listener Jerry, it looks like it's the marzipan that gives it its distinctive shape. And it won't be long before Catania, the ancient Sicilian city in the shadow of Mount Etna, will fill the streets in tribute to their very own resident. Having looked into it, the cake has a dark history, with Agatha being subject to the most horrendous torture, which eventually led to her death on the 5th of February, 251 AD. And each anniversary, she is celebrated and revered as the saint of those with breast cancer, amongst others. We'll pop a picture of Peanut's Lunch Bag Cookbook on our Facebook, Instagram and Pinterest pages. And thank you as always for commenting on there. We do love hearing from you. And if you'd like to show your support for our little old podcast, please do leave us a review. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Right then, back to steam cleaning.